Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. Dr. Williams is the author of the acclaimed book, Shattered by the Darkness, Putting the Pieces Back Together After Child Abuse. Dr. Williams is on the senior leadership team at Baylor College of Medicine in Houston, Texas. And Dr. Williams travels the United States speaking and training professionals, parents, and victims about the importance of dealing with abuse and personal trauma head on and not being afraid to break the silence of your own personal pain. Feel free to call in to tonight's show at 888-627-6008 and speak with Dr. Williams and his guests live on air. And now, your host, Dr. Williams.
Good evening and welcome to Breaking the Silence. I'm Greg Williams and welcome to my office here at Baylor College of Medicine. I'm on the 10th floor of the Pavilion for Women Hospital here in the most awesome and beautiful city in the world, Houston. And it is great to have you with us tonight, but I want to let you know, do not call in because tonight is a pre-recorded program because we have a special guest that is on the other side of the world that agreed to pre-record this interview tonight, and I am so honored to have the guests that we have this evening. So if you want to contact me via my cell phone, 832-396-6525, I'll be glad to help you out with any questions, any contact information that I can give you for our guest. And here in a minute, you're going to have her beautiful face right here next to mine, sharing this screen with us, and we're going to speak almost an entire hour on this story. And first of all, I just want to let you know that we've been doing this show for almost 6-7 years. And each Sunday night, I've always tried to provide for our listening audience people that have experienced things and through that have become resilient, a voice for the people that are hurting. They have raised their standards to be able to go out and impact other people in a positive way. Even though they have gone through hell, they have come out on the other side of hell, not even smelling like smoke. And that is what I love about this program. You can come on here and tell your story, but then be able to tell us how you made it through it. How are you still dealing with it? What happens when those nights in the middle of the night, it gets dark? How do you handle that? How do you handle loneliness? And in that, we get to learn from each other. So I've always said that if you give us 45 to 50 minutes every Sunday night, you're going to be able to learn something, apply something, and use something. This is not for entertainment per se. This is for education. This is for instruction. Sometimes, folks, and I'm not trying to be dramatic, sometimes this is for survival. What's going on in our unbelievable state this past week is this flood that has taken over 100 lives from our world. And in that, there's dozens and dozens of children that have drowned this week in this dramatic and tragic flood. How does a parent get through that? How do we counsel and help people through that kind of tragedy? That's what I want this program to be able to be all about. How can we put all of this craziness and sometimes unbelievable, tragic, horrific events and put it in some type of a context to where we can understand it and still live. And sometimes in the world, and I'm going to ask our guest tonight if she deals with this, sometimes in our world, things happen to us, and then we end up taking that and putting it in our brain, and we become our worst critic. So how do you deal with the voices in your head that tells you you're worthless, that tells you you're never going to make it, that tells you that you don't have a chance in the world, you are an accident, Greg? And I still hear all those things that my dad told me when I was a child. How do you silence that? How do you get all of that to quiet down when sometimes it's the loudest voice that you hear? And a couple ways I just want to give you real quick, then we're going to bring our guest in, is I need to recognize, and you need to recognize, where's that voice coming from? Is it coming from something that happened today or something that happened to you in the past? And why is that voice so loud? And it's probably something that we picked up early in life. And I need to ask myself, whose voice is that? Where's that coming from? And what's it actually telling me? And then realize that that's the past. I'm not going to allow the past one more day to control my present, but to always remember that that's the past, not to allow it to control my present, and move into the future with voices that only uplift and help me. And if there's people in your friendship circle that's always bringing you down, I suggest you find a different circle. Find some different friends. Find some people that will hold your hand, hug you, put their arm around you, and say, hey, you're better than that. Come on. I encourage you. I want to be an encourager today. So when you hear those voices, push it to the side. And then we also need to talk back to those voices with compassion. Imagine a close friend of yours that's going through this. What would you say to them? How would you handle that? What advice would you give them? And then when you put that on paper in your journal, read that advice to yourself. Sometimes we offer our friends better advice than what we give ourselves that advice. And then the last thing, and then I'll be done because I'm doing this real quick today because I can't wait to get our guest, is then shift from earning worth to honoring worth. Let me tell you that everybody that's looking in my eyes right now and hearing my voice right now, you are a valuable treasure. You are important. You have value. You have worth. You are special. You are a one of a kind individual. No matter what's happened to you, you still are valuable. You're like that $100 bill that I remember going to a John Maxwell conference. He took a $100 bill out of his wallet and said, who wants this $100 bill? Well, everybody in the audience raised their hand. He wadded it up, put it on the floor, and stomped on it. And then he picked it up, and it was all dirty and stomped and wrinkled. He said, now who wants it? And everybody still raised their hand. The value is still there, no matter how much pain, hurt, crumpledness, dirt, trash that we have been through. So I want to let you know that no matter who you are, what's happened to you, you have value and you are a treasure. And I just want to let you know, no matter what the voices are telling you, listen to this voice right now. It's better than that. You can make it, you can do it, and there's always hope. With that thought in mind, Don, I would like for you to go ahead and just bring Lorada into the screen right now so we can see her and Lorada Lyons. I tell you what, is our guest tonight. Monday, I was doing what I normally do in my office here at this desk, and I was typing in Daily Mail, and I was going through the Daily Mail that is from the UK and reading all the headlines. And then there was a little story that had this headline and a picture of our guest. And in that, I opened it up And I read this story and I thought, wow, I have to have this guest on my show. I reached out to her and she is here tonight and ready to share her story. So welcome to the program, Lorada. I appreciate hearing and listening, and I can't wait to hear your story. Thank you for being with us tonight.
Wow, honestly, it's a real honor, and thank you so much for reaching out to me. I feel really humbled every time I get to speak. It humbles me because all I ever wanted to do is, say one person, and I feel like hopefully my story is making a huge difference to majority, and that was a small mission that is turned into my life mission to inspire, to save others. Just if it will reach you in one way or another, just take it as it reaches you. Don't overanalyze it. And I thought I was only going to save people from human trafficking, and now I'm working with people that have gone through loss of a child or some kind of traumas that they only can express this in their own ways, or they've served in the army and they struggle with post PTSD and that kind of stuff. And who would have thought that this little girl that was kidnapped by human trafficking, that got completely torn apart and abused and held in a solitary confinement for 6 months, turned her into a monster that she never understood. And to heal and to speak on your show, Dr. Williams, who would have thought I would have made it this far? So, America, thanks for having me as your guest. And I really hope, firstly, you understand me because my English is not really my first language.
I can understand you
Thank
perfectly. You're doing great.
you.
Put up your book, would
Yeah.
you, Lorada? I want
Sure.
everybody to see this book and look at this cover, Unbroken. Write that name down, Unbroken, Surviving Human Trafficking. Let me take a commercial break here in a minute. Get on Amazon and buy this. I downloaded it off Kindle, bought it right away and read it. And then I read it again before today's program. And is that not an unbelievable cover? Lorada, did you create that cover? Was that your idea for that unbelievable, like you said, monster and Beauty and the Beast right there on the cover of this book? Was that your idea?
Honestly, I wish I could take some credit for this, but I can't. It was a friend of mine that actually I have given him the recognition for designing my cover of my book, Pete Kirtley. He is a music producer, and so he worked really hardly on the last process of my book to sort of, there is always someone that's going to push you through to the next level. And when I had the hugest doubts or whether I should be so public with the book, whether I should even publish, he was like, let me design your cover. You are publishing. So he designed it and he said, Loretta, this really does represent you frightened. And we couldn't find a picture of me when I was 17, 18 years of age. So he created it with an AI kind of, he gets into this AI creation. And then we use the picture that I already have for work, for my profile pictures and stuff. So he sort of combined them and he said, what do you think? And it resonated with me so much. It was so powerful. I thought if anyone was to look at it would just see that there is torment and there is light at the end of the tunnel. So it sort of speaks quite loud, I believe. But then, it's just maybe because I love it so much, maybe I don't know.
I think it's interesting because, here's my book, Shattered by the Darkness. I have in my title, I'm shattered. You have in your title that you're unbroken. Unbelievable. It's a complete different view of two different lives, two different insights. And tell me how you came up with unbroken. When, and I'm going to let you share your story here just shortly. How can you even use that to describe you unless inside you still have that unbrokenness of nothing is going to break me, even though I did go through so much?
Well, really, it just lies down to the fact that anything can break us if we allow it. And so, therefore, I've gotten to that level of not wanting to live and starve myself because I just wanted to go and meet my maker, and as I mention it in the book. But then when I made it through and I got sent to the UK as a child asylum seeker, political asylum seeker, and I got seen by so many different doctors, psychologists, psychiatrists, all sorts. I had the whole entourage team of people wanting to help me. Deep down, I just wanted to die still. And I realized it wasn't the place. I wasn't at war. I wasn't kidnapped anymore. I wasn't being abused every day for 6 months on end. But yet I was in a safe place, yet feeling so unsafe. I mean, of course, it took a lot of time. It's taken me so many years. I'm not saying I have a magic wand and I'm going to create, a miracle straight away. But we do possess the magic in us to change the outcome, because what ha we can't choose what happens to us, but we can choose how we grow from what happens to us and how we move forward. So Unbroken came from when I decided, and this is a really long story, but when I decided to forgive, and not just to forgive other people, because people think, well, how could you forgive somebody? I'm like, well, listen, they're living their life and I'm living in this resentment and I'm hating them. If I don't forgive them, I forever will be in prison with them, tormenting and haunting me for the rest of my life. So I needed to forgive. And in order to forgive, it has to start with you. As a survivor or as anyone that's gone through a trauma will always say, what did I do to cause this? Did I do something wrong? Did I lure them to me? Did I look at them in a certain way that they picked me? Or why? Or even if it's a family abuse, it's like, but why did my father only pick to abuse me? And I've got cases like this with people that I work, but why didn't he do it to my siblings? It's not how you looked, or it's just a monstrous act you can't dictate, but you can dictate what you do from it, how you go about it. So I decided to forgive myself. Because I knew I didn't do anything wrong. I was completely innocent, minding my own business, frightened for my life. And it just happened so they picked me and they decided to sell me to the highest bidder. Now, the little Loretta was really, really strong, because had she had not been strong and she had hadn't she had this love for her parents to make it through every hurdle, to genuinely not believe that she was going to die, I probably wouldn't even be sitting here with you. But it just comes to show we are really resilient from an early age. It's just that society makes us look and feel weak. We are really strong. We have magic in us. And like you said before, how do we, this voice is in our heads. It's a practice. Like you say, you have to redesign how you think. And I think a lot of things make us go back to how we used to think because we entertain it. We are so addicted to that pain, to that. That's all we know. It's like it becomes part of us. It's like, God forbid we thought positive because I don't know what it will make me feel. And so when I started changing, I would wake up in the morning and feel so broken. So going back to unbroken. So broken, and everything I remembered of what they said to me, how they treated me, I'd be like, okay, how do I change this? Switch off. Put a music that made me want to go for a jog or a walk. A music, it's like a spell. The words that they use in lyrics, it will lift your music. So don't listen to anything that is swearing or what have you. Listen to something like inspirational, even if it's just a melody. And just go in nature and clear your head, listen to the birds, connect with nature. And for me, just about rewiring my brain. And I knew that the moment I let go of me resenting them, I took away that power over me for Loretta's future. So I only stand by you now and by many audience because I decide, even now, when people just are unreasonable with me and they don't understand why I don't react. I just worry what has happened to these people. They've got so much cruelty in them to think they have the right without knowing you to put you down and to lash at you. It's like, well, clearly how you feel is a reflection of you and it has nothing to do with me. This is one thing that you can always say when you are faced with what you might think is unfair, or if you think, oh, where did that come from? Just remember a reflection of someone else, not yours. But if you do recognize you have triggered someone, be big enough of a man, of a woman, of a child to say, do you know what? I'm having a bad day. I am so sorry. Let's just rephrase. I didn't mean it that way. Because I think communication skills really go a long way. And I really have to train myself how to be articulate and because I have every reason in the world to just ask people to back off and like be. I was an angry teenager in the UK because I thought, what's wrong with these people? I've been through war, I was kidnapped, but it wasn't their fault. So I was holding this anger and the resentment with everyone around me, but it wasn't their fault. It's no one's fault. You have to take accountability that, yeah, that was your past. But okay, it's in the past. It doesn't matter. Hakuna Matata. What are you going to do with the future? So yeah, the unbroken really is from the fact that I could have easily gone down the rabbit hole and take my own life, perhaps, or which I was very suicidal and I was on a suicidal watch for a while in the UK. And then just I realized that if they didn't take my soul, obviously, and my body healed, and here I am doing this work. I'm completely unbroken because I mended my pieces. We are not a glass that once it shatters, it can't be amended. We are so resilient. So resilient. You have so many examples out there. Just look at your friends around you, look at what's going on around you. There is always someone that is going to inspire you. So never, ever do you give up. In any time you feel like you want to give up, just either reach out to me on Instagram or somewhere, or read a book, or read my book, read your book, read something that inspires you. So yeah, we are unbroken. Not just me. This represents, I should have just said we are unbroken, but I had to start with me first. But we all are unbroken.
Unbelievable. Was there anything, one particular thing in your life that when you hit rock bottom, that opened the drapes and brought the light to you? It's like, wow, that changed the way I look at everything. Because forgiveness is huge. Unforgiveness is even bigger because it'll destroy you. But was there anything in your life that just turned, that happened to you, that was an eye-opening event for you to the positive?
I mean, there was a few different occasions, but I think the birth of my first child, for example, I never thought I would be able to create life because of what I've been through and how I was handled. And so all my life, since I was really young, you know, children always think women like, oh, one day I'm going to be a mom, you know, especially if you are born thinking that way or you had an amazing mom, which I have had, and I was really blessed. And I always wanted to be a mom. So when my first got actually was born, it made me realize that the power that we possess inside, and it was a sort of a turning point for me to want to be greater and better, and because he deserved, you know, I was blessed. I got shown, I believe in God, and I got shown by God that, you know what, no matter how much humans have hurt you and have destroyed you in ways that you can't even create children, I have decided to bless you. And I think the power, but you know, the other one that I just remembered whilst I'm mentioning God on the night, because this is, I'm jumping through the story, but this one scenario when I was actually about to be executed, and I remember the fear of death so clearly, even now. And every time I talk about it, I start trembling because it was just so real. And I remember begging them to let me pray because I was so scared to die and meet God. And I thought, clearly, I have done something really terrible in my life. I'm only 17, but yet I was questioning, what have I done so bad to deserve this? I said, I need to pray. Please, that's my last wish. And they allowed it. And I remember whilst I was praying, a voice, and this is why I never believe the belief in God, the power that the universe, whatever you might believe, if a voice in my head just said, turn around and grab the keys. And I didn't know that was keys, but who spoke to me? It wasn't my voice in my head. It was so loud and clear that turn around whilst you are praying and grab the keys. And I just never forget. I was like, I can't break my prayer in my head. I'm having a conversation with myself. I can't break the prayer. It's like, turn around, get the keys. And so those kind of moments, you know that something, someone is by you and it's just guiding you the right direction. So you need to be able to channel that, you know, something speaks to us. We just need to be a bit more open to channel the messages that come from God, from our angels, from universe. You know, I respect any religion, any beliefs, but yeah, this was really significant things that really stay with me still.
Was that when the gentleman said for you to go ahead and pray, and while you're doing that, I'm going to go to the restroom,
Yeah,
and that
so
was gave you that break to be able to grab and run? Was that that scenario, that story?
yeah. That
Yeah,
was
that's
it. Well
powerful.
done. You remember it. It's
Oh,
an easy
yes.
read, isn't it? It's quite easily read within hours. I know kids are reading it, and you know, kids that are 10 and plus. And yeah, it was that time. I mean, I don't know. I don't even know sometimes how I'm here, but I am really grateful.
Well, you know, in this story that ran on the Australia side of the Daily Mail,
Yeah.
that I got to it through the London side or the UK side of the Daily Mail, it mentioned that you was abducted when you were 17 years old. And as I was reading this short version of it before I read your book, it talks about almost every night. This is the first sentence of the story. Almost every night, Murata Lion wakes up screaming.
Yeah.
It's been 30 years, but when she closes her eyes at night, she relives the terror all over again. And then it goes into the story. Tell me, because I experience this still, tell me, what is your ability and the reoccurring issues that you have at night when you close your eyes? Tell me how you battle that, because I still battle that every night in my world. Tell me what your world's like at nighttime when you go to sleep.
Yeah, so I came to realize that I hadn't slept, and it's less than 30 years because that makes me a bit older. So let me just say that, but tiny bit, I think. But anyway, details. But yeah, it's one of those things. Like I noticed that I work with people, so I'm always trying to do good. And even previously, I always worked in a fitness industry or life coaching. So I'm always surrounded with people, and I want to help, and just sort of, so I hear other people's story, and I'm very sensitive. I really take everything to heart, and I know they say don't, but I can't help it. I feel people. It's not even just listening. I feel them. And so whether it's something going on TV, which I don't often listen because it's been a lot of negative news, so it affects me and it triggers me. So it's not because I'm being sort of big-headed about it, but I limit myself to what I listen, because I can get triggered, like wars as we have right now trigger me very quickly because I know the feeling, I know what can happen. And so going to bed over the last year since I have escaped the kidnapping, they used to come. So when I was in a solitary confinement for 6 months, the soldiers that took me, they would come in at all sorts of different times. And for me, I lost track of time because my room was, it had no window. It had a door, which you could barely make out the light from what was on the outside. I had a small blanket, and the floor was concrete. So I was there for 6 months, rotting away. And they would come into my room at all sorts of times. They probably knew the time, but for me, it was completely out of whack because I didn't know what the time was, how many months have gone by. I was losing my mind. And I think that inconsistent sleep pattern for so long and being in a dark room for so long. So I have self-diagnosed myself, and I'm not a doctor, but I have a great passion for medicine. I think it's my last habit to break now, or my last sort of ordeal to break, or implement or replace with something a bit more consistently positive, and I'm working on it, which I will share, is because it's inconsistencies and the dark room. So you imagine when you go into bed, and because you're not conscious, you can't control, it's dark. That's why I leave a light on, because at least when I'm waking up with a nightmare, I can, because we open our eyes, but we don't know we're having a nightmare and opening our eyes. So I can instantly see the light, and it sort of brings my soul back to, okay, I'm having a nightmare. Let's just calm down. Otherwise, I end up going out or climbing a window. It can be quite dangerous. And so I saw a therapist. I've seen so many different people for this, and it took only a hypnotherapist lady, which I saw her for my phobia for rats and mice, because I was abused, but they used to put those in my room. And I said to her, it's a bit embarrassing because in London we've got so many rats and mice on the streets sometimes. And I said, here I am, an adult screaming. And she said, well, nobody likes mice, but she said, let's work with your phobia. What she discovered on the questionnaire and why she did the assessment, and I really rate her, she realized that she needed to work on my sleep. My
Yeah.
sleep, I was desperate. I was completely drained, no sleep. And so the hypnotherapy really helped me drift into a deep sleep. And she said, it doesn't matter if you have 1 hour of quality sleep or 10, the important is to have the quality sleep. And she said, you're not having any. So I really thank her for that. But then I sort of, life got away with me, and so much has happened since. I need to go back to that again because I was having better night's sleep. So meditation or, doing this hypnotherapy could, potentially can ha can help. But ultimately, I don't want people to be fooled by, just thinking that that's the only cure and it will be done. I think it's just a matter of that we are not in control when we are sleeping of our consciousness, or anything could sort of manifest while we are sleeping. And our partners, so if you have a partner or you have someone that needs to be really understanding and be informed that you go through that, so they don't freak out, especially at the beginning of a relationship, because that's the first thing I did with my partner when I met him many, many years ago. I told him that I apparently, because he said, you're waking up in the night and you're climbing windows and you're screaming. He said, what's going on? And we were only dating, and I sat him down. I said, I'm so sorry. I need to tell you about my story, because on the outside, I just looked like a normal person, but I was completely, all over the place. And I hadn't worked on myself like I am now, or I have so long. So, sleep is something that I still struggle with. I can't actually lie, but I just deal with it. And sometimes it's really disturbing because I get up and I go in the hall and I ask for help, and I see I have kids, and they get up to see, Mom, are you okay? And that really breaks my heart, because I feel like we do pass on traumas to our little ones, but they know my story. And the only reason I've shared it is because I want to be transparent, and I want to make them great human beings and good gentlemen one day. And it was all about how to treat women and what I expect of them. But it's led them to being so wise and cautious, and when they get into places or when they're out. So, and also just really supportive of me, which I'm really grateful, because they're only young still. And to be able to be so understanding to support me through tough times, it humbles me even more so as a human being. I feel sorry, I don't want to torment them, but it teaches them skills. Maybe it
Yeah.
will inspire them to want to do something like I do, maybe help others in the future. I don't know.
Well, I'm sure you're an inspiration to them, and thank you for sharing the sleeping patterns, because I for years, an hour and a half, 2 hours, the TV on, lights on, and in a chair. Because if not, I wake up screaming, because I have that reoccurring. And you mentioned relationships. How hard is it for you, and has it been for you, to be able to trust anyone in your life, especially people that you end up wanting to get close to? Wanting to have a friendship with or relationship more with, how do you learn how to reopen your heart when your heart has been smashed so many times, lied to, manipulated, sold, beaten, and your story just goes on. How can you trust again? And do you ever fully trust?
Oh, Dr. Williams, you know, sometimes I wonder if I even trust myself, but
Good point. Good point.
you know, it's just one of those things that, for example, just because we have been broken doesn't mean people should judge others and not give them a chance. I believe is how I started trusting is by giving others a chance. And if I quite soon feel like something is not adding up, I will just simply remove myself from the situation without making them feel guilty or judging them or trying to fix them, because I knew it wasn't the right person or it wasn't the right environment. And you know what, my sort of first partner that I trusted, that I created life with, my boys, it took a little while to get to know each other, because one, I was still with the mentality, you know, the Yugoslav mentality is strong and very straightforward. And then when you're dating a British guy, which they much rather stay polite than tell you how they feel, it's really tough. And so I thought that was so fake, because I'm just used to saying it as it is. And now I'm sort of in between. I will tell you how I think, but I probably will phrase it like the English people. So it's sort of, you know, and so I gave him a chance, and obviously you have to try, but if it's not it, then you have to let go. But it's not just in a like a close relationship. I think people that really truly teach you to trust is other people that are willing to help you, make you grow in life. For example, my mentor, Gilles Agony, he is a French Senegalese, and he's been in my life for many decades now, since I've been in the UK. And first time I shared my story with him, it was at a coffee shop. And I remember him sipping a coffee, his coffee, and it's like his jaw, he was almost drooling. He's like, "What?" I said, and you're not telling anyone else?" I said, "But Gilles, I don't want this to be public. I'm just telling you because of the, you know, it's sort of it matches the conversation we are having, and I just wanted to share it with you in confidence." He's like, "No, darling, you've got to do a book, and I see you on stage and doing this and doing that." I'm like, "Gilles, I can't." He said, "Yeah, but," and this is when trust comes in. He said, "Darling, listen, I can help you with everything. Whether you need speaking coaching, whether you know you want to write a book, I can help." He said, "I don't know how to write a book, but we will find a way." He said, "Imagine your book was a sort of a product that helps charity." He said, "How does that make you feel?" And then he changed the psychology behind it. And I was like, "Oh, is that possible?" He's like, "Everything is possible." So he really taught me how to forgive. He took me through all sorts of different training, and we are family friends. I love his family to bits, and they like family that I chose to have in my life, but we're not related. And people like him deserve a medal, because they dedicate, and like yourself, for example, you dedicate so much time. It's not about the money we give, it's not about anything else. It's the time that we never get back, and it's priceless. When you dedicate that time, being 5 minutes or 10 minutes or an hour, remember, it's the most valuable thing and the most gracious thing you can ever do for someone. And that's all I remember about people that helped me, is the time. Because money doesn't always fix everything. I needed time, I needed wisdom, I needed guidance, and I couldn't buy it. It was all given to me voluntarily by people like Gilles.
Yeah,
Yeah.
it's beautiful. Do you have any idea of the impact that you're making on so many people around the world because you have the courage to tell the story? Do you have any idea yet just what kind of auditoriums you're filling and impacting with your story?
I really never thought my story was so impactful. I, in fact, I was almost embarrassed to even talk about it, because I was ashamed of what had happened to me. And, you
Yeah.
know, as a woman, it's so taboo not to talk about such vulnerable things. And, you know, so you try to save a face for yourself. But I realized in order to be stronger and more impactful, I had to be really vulnerable and really let it all out there. I didn't realize the impact I made and how it sort of reached people until I was speaking in Singapore at this event. And because I used to live there for 5 years, and I got invited by UN Women to speak on one of their platforms. And there was a, I said, look, I said, you must speak up, whether it's abuse in the house or, because sometimes abuse within the house is a lot harder than what happened to me. Because at least for me, the abusers were strangers. But I work with people, they got the abusers from their mum. And when I talk abuse, I mean sexual abuse, I talk physical abuse. And also one that we don't even think is abuse and is actually really big, it's mental
Yes.
and verbal abuse, which we don't recognize or give it as much attention. And that's something that stays with you, like it changes the voice in your head and what you
Yes.
say to yourself forever. Because the wounds and the, I had a broken jaw, I had a torn ear, I had a dislocated back, I've got teeth missing. And so I got almost paralyzed. All of that, I live with pain, but it doesn't bother me. It's here that I needed to have a mental, healthy mindset. I needed to have a healthy fitness or fitness mindset kind of thing. You know, you have to build that. It doesn't happen overnight. So going back to Singapore, for example, on the, I said this, and I said, you must speak out. You must tell if the person you trust, and if you want to tell anyone tonight that doesn't know you, next to you, find that comfort in just saying, what is it that is bothering you? And if you don't have that courage, I said, let me be the first one to hear it. So wait for me at the end of the stage. And I always take my time. I never rush. I don't care. I don't work on hours. I work as long as it takes. I don't care whether I'm delivering coaching sessions or speeches. I'm done when the audience is done. And so I finished my speech and then I go to the stairs and I had the lineup of people, men, women. And then this woman that really stays with me, she said, if you could go through that and come through, she said, I think I can beat cancer. And Dr. Williams, I didn't know what to say to her. I just started crying because I never thought I could inspire someone that's going through cancer. It's a completely different struggle that sometimes it's really unpredictable. And but what she made me realize, and she said this to me, she said, you said it and I'm saying it to you. She said, you said something, struggle is struggle. It doesn't get measured on the scale. I said, oh, yes, I did. And she said, this is why I came to tell you, because I'm suffering with cancer, it's terminal, but I think I might be able to beat it because you inspired me. And so I never know what happened to her, but she always comes up in my speeches because she changed my mindset forever. I knew that my mission was a lot bigger than just speaking of human trafficking. I actually reach people for the resilience, for the forgiveness, and people want to hear, you know, that there is always a way. And whatever people find in the story they want to take away, I'm grateful. You know, if I could reach one person, I'm grateful. And yet, reaching millions, I will die happy. I really will, I think. But I still have so many goals and so much I want to reach. I want to reach everyone, and I just wish I could hug everyone and just say, it's going to be okay, you know.
Yeah.
But I take my time on social media and I speak to the audience that can't reach me, so they reach to me through social media and they confess on what's going on. And sometimes it's really hard because you want to hold them and you want to give so much more advice, but they also limited how much they are ready to take in and et cetera. So yeah, it's never
Wow.
ending.
That's powerful. And I mention a lot when I speak that it doesn't matter if it was a kidnapping, put in solitary confinement in the dark for months, or being abused 4,000 plus times, like I was when I was being trafficked by my father. It could be a 16-year-old girl that was going on a date and an almost date rape that didn't even happen. The trauma of just that kind of impact is just as devastating than what you've gone through in your life and what I've gone through with mine. It can be just that impactful on their mind. So we need to let people know, hey, wait, it doesn't have to be a story that they want to make a movie or write a book about. It could just be that one time that something was said or something that was almost done that impacts you. And for them to hear your story and read your book, they can get something out of that. Because sometimes they say, "Oh, my story's nothing like yours." Oh, it doesn't matter.
It
That's
doesn't matter.
okay. It's what you have to go through and live through and what you deal with. And what do you say to those folks when they say, "Oh, I had nothing like what you did, but finish that sentence for me." Well, that's okay. This is what's important.
And often people say that. I think we have a
Yeah.
tendency. I think this starts, Dr. Williams. Sorry, I'm having to go back to the whole medicine thing, but have you noticed when you go to doctors, and I'm not bashing, my dad was a doctor, but I was in the doctor's room in the UK, and the doctor said to me, because I almost got paralyzed from from the waist down, and he said, "What is the pain like from 1 to 10?" I said, "Doctor, with all your respect," I said, "my threshold of pain is a lot higher than someone else's because I
Yeah.
was beaten up every day. I got branded on my calf." And I told the doctor very quickly what I've been through. He said, "Fair enough. This makes me think not to ask this question again." I said, "Perhaps, maybe just ask it in a different way." So every story is important, and it doesn't have to be compared to mine or yours. And I don't wish it up on anyone to go through what you and I and anyone else that I know has been through, only to validate that they're also important. I believe no person or nurse should go through traumas. However, we are sent these kind of traumas for a reason because it's meant to shape us. It's meant to teach us lessons. And I always say, don't worry, don't compare yourself, because we're always trying to keep up with the Joneses and trying to keep up with everyone else. For crying out loud, let the trauma be as it is. Don't compete. It doesn't have to be as big as mine. A trauma is trauma because it's as big as it's happening to you. That's how big it is, okay? And it just doesn't have to measure. It's not a competition. Just acknowledge it, see what's teaching you, and what is it that you can do from it? Is it a message you can share? Did it teach you resilience? Did it teach you mindset? Did it teach you to be, if your father was abusive, did it teach you to be a better father or a better mom? What is it that it taught you? Did it, because it teaches you to be really, really aggressive initially, because you respond very quickly with defensive. You respond rather than understand, so you react a lot quicker. But when you silence that and you say, "No, I'm better than this. I'm better than this because this is not who I was before this happened. So how do I respond? I'm going to be extra kind, even if it's hard to begin with. I'm going to show them love because love is absolute free remedy for everything. We can meet an animal on the street that is a stray. The moment we give them love, they trust us so quickly and they can read us so fast. The moment you give them love and a bit of attention and time, they blossom into the most beautiful animals and they bounce around. Why aren't we doing the same for the humans? Why aren't we kind with humans, you know? And we can't adopt everyone and we can't give them all shelter, but you can take your time to stop and talk to someone and give your wisdom, you know, because God always sends us at the right time, at the right place, to give somebody a message, because they're sending it to us to send to someone.
That's good.
I wanted to also, before I forget, because this is really important, you asked me earlier, what was it that changed your outcome or changed your mindset or trust in this? You know, in my story, which is really worth mentioning, because the whole idea when I did the book, I dedicated this book as a thank you to United Nations, to American police officers. And one is from Alabama and the other one is from Florida. They were United Nations in Kosovo during the war. And I'm from Serbia originally, but it was all one country at one time. And if people read the book, they can learn some really new history. And it's quite fascinating because it is a very beautiful place. So here we go. We've got Peter and Brian. And it's not a very good picture.
That's beautiful.
But I dedicated this book as a thank you, because they gave me shelter. So I thought to myself, here it is, Peter and Brian are giving me shelter. They are not my religion, they are not my nationality, and they are willing to risk their positions in the UN to give shelter to a girl that was running for her life. And it made me realize that loyalty lies in everyone, and care lies in everyone. You just need to give it a chance. You can't judge people by their religion, by their nationality, by color. It doesn't come like that, because your very own people can break it. So for me, I got kidnapped by our nation. I got in solitary confinement by our army. But Peter and Brian, Americans, Christian, spoke in English, and I couldn't speak a word in English then. They gave me shelter. They looked after me like their sister. There was never, ever at any point any sexual innuendo or anything whatsoever. The respect was so high, and I have such a special bond with those two boys that it pains me that I haven't reunited with Brian yet, and I've seen Peter since because he came to see me in the UK. But people like that have made me realize that heroes walk amongst us for real. They don't wear a cape. It's just, the angels live in us, within humans, and so does the evil. So it's just a matter of, really appreciating the good, because the evil will always be around us, I'm afraid. It's the world we're living in. It's never been fair.
Yeah, that's
So,
beautiful.
yeah.
That's beautiful. Did you ever find one thing that you did that helped you the most? For me, journaling, taking a notebook and pouring out on the page and writing and putting my feelings down on paper. Was there anything that you could give to advice of somebody that may be listening tonight as we finish out the show here, that you say, hey, wait, if I had an opportunity to look at them in the eyes right now, try this, do this, this worked for me, this helped me get through those dark times, those times where I wanted to kill myself, give this a shot. What would you offer as a few items of, hey, try this?
These are such important points, and I can only go with what helped me. And
Yeah.
I'm so grateful you actually brought this up. I remember sitting in my small little room, and on TV I would watch, and I'm sorry I'm having to mention this, I'm not advertising it, but I used to watch Carrie on Sex and the City. And she was taking my mind away. That show was so much fun at the beginning, and the
Yeah.
fashion, and I was a girl still. So I liked when Carrie had an amazing day or whatever, and she would go home and type away. Now, I was with someone, my first boyfriend in the UK was an American from Connecticut, and he actually helped me a lot as well. He got me a small laptop, and my English was very limited, but that laptop, I didn't know what to use it for, but he got it for me as a gift, and it was just a godsend. So I started typing, and I learned how to type as well. And in any way I could remember my story. And I just started typing just anything, and no structure, nothing, no dots, no commas, nothing. And then I thought, oh, I need to maybe go and write something that happened, what's happened for me. So I just started typing my memories into this computer, laptop, and then I would shut it, and I would just feel this sense of relief. I didn't
Yeah.
know it was happening until much later that I realized it is a bit, our brain gets so fired up with so much information throughout the day. That's why kids are in such different mindset that they used to be when they used to play in the streets with a football. Now they're all on their screens. So same for us. We are going through lives looking at Instagram or troubles that we might be going through. So our mind gets so full. And if a computer is being, it's constantly you're saving stuff on your computer, same as you do in your mind, the computer will crash or will say, you're running out of space. And by offloading them off your mind and putting it onto paper or even on a computer, you're allowing yourself to understand that because we hold on to trauma so much because we're so scared to let go, as painful as they are, we're scared because that's what we recognize or relate to. When you put it down on paper or on a computer, you realize that, oh my God, actually, that was a sense of relief. This is great. And so you start emptying stuff from here because you no longer have to remember. You can go read it. You don't have to remember it. Why would you? You start filling it. So you create space. You start filling it with good stuff. And that's the next step is So you know you are emptying all this rubbish into a computer, and now, well, you don't go and put more rubbish. So how do I do it? Okay, I'm gonna set myself goals. Every day I'm gonna start with walking in the park, and I'm gonna listen only to music that really lifts me up. Nothing that is vocally telling you're heartbroken or somebody left you or whatever. You listen to things like a Prodigy, I'm a fire starter, something, crazy, or Metallica, I don't know, whatever is your jam. And by being in nature, you have to be aware of all the beauty that surrounds you that doesn't require anything from you. But I also do believe that once you have done these two things, this is something you implement all the time. It doesn't happen overnight. Please don't ever forget to forgive yourself. Anytime that voice creeps in and it tells you you're not good enough, you tell that voice, this is not me, and forget it. I'm going to show you I am worthy and I am good enough, because you no longer control me, because it's all on that computer. It's like, bye-bye, switch that button off. You have to be ruthless and you have to be delusional, because if you're not delusional sometimes about your dreams and believing that you are, you have to believe that you are even when you are not. I had a time when I thought I was so healed, I was so successful personal trainer. I had two clients, but in my head, I was like training all these athletes. And guess what happened? I started training all these athletes because I was delusional. I wanted to be in that world. I wanted to be away from what happened to me. I wanted to work with people. But I take athlete as an example, but I wanted to just be away from reality that it was created for me. So be delusional. Don't worry what other people think. Just please follow your dreams and believe in yourself. You are so much better than anyone else. You don't compare yourself. You matter. You love yourself. You got to. I tell myself every day, I love you so much. Thank you so much for carrying on with my traumas that I had. And now, who have you become? It's two of us all, simultaneously. It's two of us. It's our body and our soul. And our soul always is speaking to us. The voice is our soul. You've got to thank. Like
Wow.
you said at the beginning, you said, what advice would you give to your friends? Okay, well, Dr. Williams, we're always so kind to our friends, right? But we are so awful to ourselves. So if we said exactly the same to our friends, no friends in our life, we'd be lonely. So
You're
yeah,
bringing this
don't.
full circle. Full circle. You're bringing this all around. I
I
tell you,
know.
this hour has flown by. I would love to have you on again sometime. I know this wasn't
Anytime.
easy to schedule for you, but please hold up your beautiful book. I
Oh
want everybody to
my
see this one more time. Get this book right now. You will not be disappointed. And I tell you, are you ever on this side of the world? Lerata, I mean, is there ever a time that you get over here to the United States?
I used to go a lot more often, but I lost my father recently, and I lost my hero, my everything. And people, when they read the book, they will understand my relationship with my dad and what he did to rescue me. It's been really heartbreaking. So I'm just learning how to live without his presence in my life. And I'm going to start traveling again. So if anyone is listening to the interview we are having and they would like to have me on the show, I will very much consider, because if not for my book, just let me speak to the people, the audience, and hopefully if I can just reach them with good, positive message, and just to thank my two Americans as well. So if I do come, I'd love to come and visit. I do
Absolutely.
love Texas. I do love. I always wanted to go to Texas.
It's
I watched
beautiful
so
stuff.
many films.
Well, that is great. I tell you, you have so many different sides. You're like a diamond with so many different facets of wonderful light that comes in and out of you about nutrition and health and mental and physical. There's so many things that I really would love to talk to you about and for you to share with the world. Do you have another book in you that you're working on?
I actually have done all the sort of I lined up the structure for it, and then Dr. Williams, I'm a bit of an OCD person. I just
Me
wanted to
too.
make this story successful and impactful, and because I realize how bad human trafficking is, having worked with agents, I thought if I divert myself for the sake of writing another book and divert my attention, this book is going to suffer because I am self-published author and I don't have an agent. So in order for me to do a next book, I'm going to need an agent that believes in the story, that wants to help me grow whilst I work on the next one. And I just need people to help, and I'm not afraid to ask, but I have it in me because I think it will be more of a, what happened next and then how I overcame everything. It will be a self-help, but also a story along the way, me in London and what happens and how everyone comes together, and then life now, which I'm continuously implementing different business ideas, really mostly as a charitable stuff. Like for right now, I'm working on a retreat here in Spain. That's why I happen to be in Spain. I created a retreat because I want to get people to come, because they always say, but what else can I attend? Because I want to learn how to overcome stuff, or I want to, experience what you do. And so I've created this retreat where people can come and spend time with me, take them through different obstacles and different challenging stuff and, breathing and what have you. I've got it all lined out. And, to give them what I have learned literally face to face. So I'm really excited about that as well.
That is great. You have so many things I want to share with our audience,
Thank
and thank you so much for being on the program.
you.
It's called Unbroken, Lyrotta Lyon, Lyon, and you can get it right on Amazon and get on her website, get on her LinkedIn, follow her review for the book. All of that stuff makes a difference. It allows that book to be higher. To be able to be seen by more people, to impact more people's lives. So please do her that favor. She shared her life with
Thank
you. You
you.
share a few minutes of your time with her and thank her for being on here. Thank you for being on the program today.
I
This has
thank you and
been a
everyone else
blessing.
for your time. Also, that time is precious for listening. Thank you so much, everyone. God bless you and contact me.
Okay, and I will contact you again to have you come back on. I would love to have you back. Thank you so
You
much.
so much, Dr. Williams. Good night.
Thank you. Good night to you. As we do each and every show, we like to end it with this last little phrase. So hang in there. Don't click off yet. No matter what you've gone through, no matter how dark your world is, no matter how small that room is, and only a little bit of light is coming in, never forget, there's always hope. There's always hope. And inside of you, you can be unbroken. Thank you for being with us. Join us next week for another edition of Breaking the Silence. God bless you. Have a good week. Good night.
Thank you for listening to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. To contact Dr. Williams, dial 832-396-6525 or email him at shatteredbythedarkness@gmail.com. And don't forget to join us each Sunday night at 8 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Pacific on BBS Radio Station 1 for the next episode of Breaking the Silence.